But I want us to read Psalm 8, and I'm going to read actually the entire psalm. It's a short one, 9 verses, but I want to read it in the Passion Translation. It says, Yahweh, our sovereign God, your glory streams from the heavens above. Who's our Father? Our sovereign God, his glory streams from heavens above, filling the earth with the majesty of your name. People everywhere see your splendor. You have built a stronghold by the songs of children. Strength rises up with the chorus of infants. This kind of praise has the power to shut Satan's mouth. Childlike worship, and I want us to pay attention to this, childlike worship will silence the madness of those who oppose you. Do you have opposition to your faith in this life? Yes, definitely, yeah. But it says, childlike worship will silence the madness of those who oppose you. Look at the splendor of your skies, your creative genius glowing in the heavens. When I gaze at your moon and your stars mounted like jewels in their settings, I know you are the fascinating artist who fashioned it all. But I have to ask this question, why would you bother with puny mortal man or care about human beings? What is man that you should care for him, that you should love him so? Isn't it amazing when we look at the splendor of God's creation and we look at ourselves, we say, we are so small, but he so deeply loves us. He deeply cares for us. So this morning, let us be outspoken about who our God is. Amen. He is amazing. He is, you know, the creator of all things, everything we see around us. He's the creator, and we have the privilege of calling him Abba Father. Amen. So let's rise this morning. Put all the other opposition words of, you know, whatever it is, question marks aside, and let's focus our gaze upon him who created the heavens and the earth.
Your name, the oceans roar and tumble. Your kingdom come.
All that the Father wants is nearness. He moved heaven and earth so that he can make a way for us to enter into his presence. But when we are in his presence, we cannot forget that it is holy ground. It is holy to be in his presence. Oh Lord.
Holy as the Lord, my. I don't know if you have understood what Raju explained. He said just like how Holy Spirit has come upon Jesus Christ, that's what is going to happen when we come close to Jesus Christ. And this is what God says to each one of us, that you are my son and you are my daughter. If you have seen, this is the word that kept coming through during the worship, isn't it? That's who we are and that's where we stand. And that's our identity, that we are children of God. I'm reading from Titus chapter 2, verse 14. And Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. Here, my focus for today is redemption, redeem. Redeem, it's not just a very simple thing, you know, just take or take back or just save. It's not a simple thing. There was something behind this redemption. Redemption is you take back, you purchase, exchange. There is something else involved in this. There is a price that is paid whenever there is redemption. And that price, what was that price? It was Jesus' life, his blood that was shed on the cross. Jesus paid for each one of us on that cross by sacrificing himself on that cross so that we could stand blameless. He took our sins, every sin of ours. He took our curse. He died our death on that cross so that we don't have to go through it. Can you believe that he has given us free access? We didn't have to do anything. We didn't have to prove ourselves by doing any good work. Jesus did it out of his love, pure and perfect love. This is redemption. And we, each one of us, were bought through his precious blood. And it is done. So now what next? So most of the time we just hear the gospel and then we keep quiet. And this time I felt God is putting his calling on something. He is focusing on the identity of each one of us. Our salvation doesn't end there. Why are we still alive if we are saved? We can all go, isn't it? But salvation doesn't end there. As long as we live on this earth, we work out our salvation. And by the grace of God, we can and we will do it. Titus chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. This is what we are called for. This is what we are called to do. To live a godly life. And if you see in the previous verse I've read, to do what is good in the eyes of God. To fulfill his purposes. So the bread that is going to be given now, it represents Jesus' body that was broken on that cross. And the juice that is being distributed, that represents the blood of Christ that was shed upon that cross for the forgiveness of our sins. And if anyone doesn't understand what I'm talking about, please, please stay back. Ask any one of us. We would love to explain what this is all about. Because this is the truth. This is the truth. And even before I request the ushers to give, let's all just bow down, close our eyes, and remember that work of Jesus, that work on the cross. Let's close our eyes. Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. So let's remember that sacrifice. And by his grace, we pursue purity on this earth. Lord Jesus, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for sacrificing your life for us. Thank you for forgiving every sin of ours. Thank you for dying our death. You took our place. You bore our cross. Thank you, Jesus. And Lord, as of now, Lord, we together as your body, Lord, your bride, we ask for your grace, Lord Jesus, which is always available for us, Lord. Help us to live godly life. Help us to pursue purity. Help us to do good in your sight. Thank you, Jesus. I request the ushers to pass on the bread and juice. And if anyone hasn't accepted Jesus as your personal one and only Savior, please let the bread and juice pass by.
Thy strength indeed is small, child of